free speech movement, speaking on the University of California's Berkeley campus in 1964.
There's a time when the operation of the machine becomes so odious, makes you so sick at heart, that you can't take part. You can't even passively take part. And you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop. And you've got to indicate to the people who run it, to the people who own it, that unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Hello, I'm Tave Fache Drake, and you are listening to KBOO Portland. The time is 10 o'clock. We've got a lot of wonderful programming coming up for you. In just a few moments, Chris Andre will host Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary. And then at 10:15, we have Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein. And at 11, on stage and studio, Demay Roberts welcomes back New York Times bestselling author Lisa C. and her new book, The Tea Girl of Hummingbird Lane. And finally at 11:30, wrapping up the morning, Art Focus welcomes the director of Portland Design Week, running from April 21st to the 29th. Plus, he looks at Untitled Studios' concept for the Portland Green Loop. And then tonight at 5 on the KBOO Evening News, a report on TriMet's partnership with the FBI's Junior Agent Program and the Detention Center that's part of its $11 million budget. Plus, KBOO takes a look at alternatives to higher learning, including the Portland Underground Graduate School known as PUGS. Thanks, KBOO members, for all your generous support. If you're not a member, you can become one by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate. This is KBOO Portland, your community radio station. Thank you so much for listening.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the We Can Listen, The Power of Being Heard event series happening monthly at the Old Church in Portland. This month, it takes place on Tuesday, April 11th at 7 p.m. This month, We Can Listen, The Power of Being Heard features Grammy-nominated recording artist Julianne Johnson, organizer of the Portland Women's March, Margaret Jacobson, musician and millennial, Mo Lincoln, and Rwandan facilitator of storytelling, Solange Iponoyimana. Again, that's We Can Listen, The Power of Being Heard, Tuesday, April 11th at 7 p.m. at the Old Church, 1422 Southwest 11th Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
morning, Cascadia. Today is Tuesday, April 11th, 2017, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio, your sanctuary radio, your resistance radio, and you're reaching out to occupied Palestine radio today, as it happens, at 90.7 FM on the air, KBOO.FM, everywhere. Little weather first to get things started. Today, there is a slight chance of rain, but that's coming along a bit later in the day. Clouds building up with a high around 59, so it's warming up today a bit. And for tonight, look for that rain that was threatening all day, all afternoon. Lows around 48. And we've got brisk east winds, 8 to 16 miles per hour, gusting as high as 24 miles per hour. And it's a good solid chance of rain. Tomorrow, look for showers and highs around 58. And that wind is going to continue on through the night and into the day. Tomorrow evening, overnight, showers likely, and a low around 46. Winds dropping off a bit. The reference introduction to today's program. We're going to try to reach Mazen Khamsia once again, the cyber Bedouin, as he likes to think of himself, and indeed, yes, he is. He is the director of the Palestine Natural History Museum, and I would commend your attention to the website for that museum. Just type that right in, and it'll pop right up. You will be amazed at what is going on in occupied Palestine. You certainly wouldn't know that the Natural History Museum is struggling but thriving in what really amounts to a war zone, and it continues to work with volunteers very much like KBOO, except we don't usually wear prefer to come in to do the daily stint wearing a bulletproof vest. But you can go there and see the work that they're doing preserving the native plants and animals. We've tried to reach Mazen right now. We're going to keep on trying repeatedly throughout the program, very often. And though I hate to cast aspersions, if that's the way it's interpreted, or rely on guesswork, another way of putting it. But I'd say that oftentimes Israel plays a role and might have a rather heavy hand in communication between parties in occupied Palestine and occupied America, and it makes it difficult to reach people. So we will keep trying to get Mazen on the line, because his voice is one of calm, intelligent resolution in a time where most people would have crumbled under the pressure. Mazen maintains a brilliant, sparkling sense of humor, and his dedication anywhere, in any country, at any time, would be just remarkable. He takes young people and shows them the plants and the animals that are native to their native land, to their land that where they and have lived, their ancestors and their ancestors' ancestors have lived for all these many thousands of years now. So it's rather like, in a sense, the First Nations people who have lived on this land for thousands of years and yet find themselves refugees in their own country. that said, Mazin is also, of course, an activist, as are pretty much everybody in Israel is in the army. Everyone in occupied Palestine is a pacifist, an activist working on behalf of their people. First and foremost, to provide an environment for their children to grow up in that does somewhere in some corner, like one of those strange rays of light that seem to come from nowhere, but everywhere, that falling through cracks in walls, you see that ray of light, and that's how many Palestinians see their actions, their activity, their activism in occupied Palestine, is that small ray of light falling on the dusty emptiness of the table. That said, we do have news out and about as we wait to speak to Mazin. From around Oregon first, let's start with Cascadia. It's so tempting to go immediately to Syria and what the Beverly Hillbillies are doing in D.C. this week. So, of course, just before we get rolling with Cascadia, it's perhaps not out of order to remark on how Trump now has positioned himself as the great statesman of the century, because he bombed the hell out of Syria. It's so much fun to fire off those Tomahawk missiles. Well, it's almost like real life. It's almost like a reality show about war, about attacking people who have just managed to stagger through chemical weapons, apparently sarin gas, one of the worst attack. And then it's immediately after that, it's incoming, and Tomahawk missiles just rain down on them. At this point, for the few remaining Syrian people, it probably is a moot point whether the Americans are doing this to save them from sarin gas, or whether Bashar al-Assad is doing it to save them from the Americans. And meanwhile, of course, the Russians are in there, no doubt attempting to hack their way through to another form of cyber attack. It doesn't really matter after a while, I imagine, I would expect. Yeah. What the source of the attack is, what remains, is that it is, in fact, yet another attack. Reducing the one's world view to the lowest common denominators, breaking it down to this handful of dust, violates everything that we know about geopolitics, about diplomacy, about engaging one's neighbors in a particular part of the world. All of that is out the window. Nothing at a certain point makes any sense at all, except survival. ISIS and the rest, and the idea of a caliphate, all of these are deadly imaginary dreams that are silencing and crippling and wounding for decades to come a whole people. So that said, and that as a constant scream in the background, we do have to get on with it, because, you know, the fact that that scream is in the background means that it could suddenly jump into our own backyard at any moment. The fact that the world is in this kind of real pain all everywhere and all the time, that's reality. That's what we apparently agreed to live with. I don't think that is a way to live. I think resistance is the only option, and I think activism is the only way forward. So that, okay, here around Cascadia, an Oregon judge has issued a gag order to prevent officials from discussing high levels of carcinogenic chemicals that are found in the air near a Lebanon battery parts maker. This isn't good news. A gag order, does that mean that just try not to breathe the stuff in? Does that mean that the idea that an Oregon judge has laid down the law not to talk about something that it is critical that we do talk about and inform ourselves, so there is that sort of a gag. Nonetheless, though, the Oregonian reports of the Linn County Circuit Court Judge Thomas McKill issued the order after Intec International's request. In other words, something we've talked about for a long time now, Molly, and the fact that corporations are calling the shots, they're making laws. We see it again and again